Well, good morning. Do you need to stretch a bit? I've been sitting for a little bit. Need to kind of relax a little bit. Glad that you joined us here for our final service of 2018. So was it what you expected? Was it what you expected? More. It was more than you expected. So I guess that demands the next question, what are we expecting? What you expected? When was the last time you expected something, and it was what you expected? Can you think about something like that? I know, I'm way too vague for us all. How was your Christmas? I see some nodding heads. How many of you hate that question? Because you're not really sure how to answer it, are you? How was your Christmas? Our Christmas was quiet. Our children didn't come home this year, so we had to do Christmas via FaceTime. Thankfully, modern technology allows us to contact Europe and all the way up to North Burns Lake. By the way, they don't call that Northern BC, by the way. That is Central BC. I was duly instructed. Was your Christmas everything you expected? No. Anybody else venture to be honest enough? Say, no. You think of all the buildup. We start, after the American Thanksgiving? Depending on how impatient the retailers are. Some of our retailers this year, I believe, started October 1st. I think I remember seeing some stores setting up October 1st. So that's all of October, all of November, all of December. That's 3 months of buildup. 3 months of anticipation. And here we are, a couple days afterwards, and, was it what we expected? So if you're under the age of 12, just give me a thumbs up if yeah was what I expected. Nah, not sure. Nah, I'm disappointed. I got a thumbs up. I got, I'm not sure. So those of you who are under 12 years old, when I ask, how was your Christmas, are you thinking about the gifts you received? Or are you thinking about more? Because I think when we're younger, when we ask the question, how is your Christmas, we generally go with what we're expecting. What are we expecting? That perfect gift. And if that perfect gift arrives under the table and it's not socks or underwear, it's what I expected. Or you go, Dad, you got it wrong. I wanted the latest version of whatever is out there right now. This is three generations old. You got it wrong, Dad. It's not what I expected. But some of us who are older, what do we expect? What are we looking for? See, some of us, I had this conversation with my wife, and I says, when we're older, we just get more realistic in our expectation, i.e., we expect less. This question of expectation, if we were to take it off of Christmas, is there anything that you're still expectantly waiting for? Is there anything that you're just getting up every morning going, maybe today's the day? Maybe this is the week. Maybe this is the month. Maybe this is the year. Do we still live in that kind of expectant waiting at all? Or get up every day, we do the routine, we fulfill our responsibilities, we crash on the couch at the end of the day and go, survive today. Today was good. I survived today. Or today's terrible. Can't wait till Saturday when I can sleep in. when I can just do nothing, no responsibilities, or wait till Sunday night because then it's the start of a new week and maybe something will be different. Maybe something will happen that'll be better. Expectation. See, when we ask the question of how was your Christmas or was it everything you expected, you kind of get a lot of anything. Well, yeah, it was everything I expected. Well, what was I expecting? Great food and fine wine. Check. It was great. It was what I expected. Or, turkey wasn't fully cooked. Wine was too dry. How about great family time and incredible conversations? Check. Or, we just endured, man. You know that strange uncle? The one that everybody, you know? Yeah, he showed up this year. Wow. not really. The gifts, the incredible gifts. Check. Or, So again, my wife and I, we're at that stage of our life now, and maybe some of you are there, we don't get gifts for each other anymore. You don't know why? Because I buy what I need beforehand. I needed that perfect miter saw. Saw the deal, I bought it. Didn't even wrap it, I used it right away. Wife says, I don't need to buy anything because it's out there in the garage. And I go, likewise. There's no waiting, there's no anticipation. How about an evening of awe and wonder and magic? Check. Or not. Sang those same carols for 15 years. Wish they'd come up with new stuff. Put Mariah Carey away. Did you see that one on Facebook? They tucked her away for another year. Okay, you're done. Done the whatever that one song is that she did, right? How was your Christmas? Was it just another ordinary day on the calendar, a break from the routine? Just check. See, year after year after year, we go through this, what I kind of call the ritual of Christmas. The lights, the songs, the decorations, the preparations, and then finally the participation. There's this building of expectation until we arrive at the time of the reveal. And then what? We're completed. We're fulfilled. We're disappointed. We're let down. And that's what makes this Sunday today kind of weird, because we're in between, right? So Christmas just happened, so some of us might go, it was exactly what I expected. It was great to see the grandchildren. It was great to be together. It's great to hear the energy and taste the food. It was awesome. And today you're just kind of basking. This is good. It's a good celebration. I don't want to think about 2019 yet. I have at least one more day, at least another 24 hours, then I'll worry about 2019. But maybe for some of us, it was just ho-hum. You know, and so was it everything you expected is, might even sound like a silly question to some people. What do you mean, was it everything expected? It was just, it's what we do. Every year, we do the same thing. It's what we do. Some of us maybe get tired of the over-sentimentalism. Or the over-commercialism, or the over-exaggeration of what Christmas is supposed to represent. We're being tired of just being swept along and kind of being forced to participate because, well, that's just what we do. I've had seasons like that. There's one radio station that I refuse to listen to in the month of December because all they play is all the Christmas songs. And I'm so tired of that. I'd rather drive with nothing in my car. Which is really hard for me to do. Was Christmas everything you expected? Might sound like a silly question, but maybe it is exactly the right question to ask after Christmas is done. Because maybe if we can answer that question of expectations for ourselves, maybe that answer that question helps us understand why this annual event is such a big deal, or why this annual celebration should be such a big deal, or maybe why it's too much of a big deal. The question of expectation. Luke chapter 2 is where I'm going to be this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 35, is a song about expectation, I think. And we meet a man in this section of verses as part of the Christmas story. We've kind of been making our way through the Gospel of Luke. We've been looking at various individuals in the Gospel of Luke. And the kind of the end of the story is kind of appropriate because it kind of happens after the event. It's the story of Simeon. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 35. Let me read that for us. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, may you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul as well." Simeon, a story of expectation. Let me just try to unpack this in the next 15 minutes or so. You see, this thing about expectation is you have to kind of identify what it is you're expecting. And there's a bit of a buildup and an anticipation toward what is expected. And then when the reveal happens, when you finally realize that which is expected, well, you respond to it. So what I find interesting in the Gospel of Luke, the beginning, verse 22, starting at verse 21. On the eighth day when it was time to circumcise the child, according to the law, according to the law, according to the law. That phrase has been said many, many, many times. That's the anticipation. Jesus was born under the system of the law. His parents were law-abiding Jewish individuals. And so there are three rites or three ceremonies that Jesus would have participated in or would have observed right at the birth of his life. And the first one is that of circumcision. Circumcision is a ceremony of redemption. Sorry, it's a ceremony of distinction, of separation. You see, when God makes his covenant with Abraham, and God makes that promise to Abraham and says, "You will be my nation, I will be your God," circumcision was that sign, that symbol, that visible symbol that you will be separated unto me. Jesus, as a child, was circumcised under the law. His parents were obeying the law. It was part of that buildup, that anticipation that they were living under. This is to be a sign of separation because of God's covenant. The ceremony of circumcision was a ceremony of submission to the sovereign will of God. Each participant was in this way set apart, separated. Jesus Christ, as an eight-day-old child, was set apart for the sovereign will of God. He was born under the law. The second ceremony is the redemption of the firstborn. And we see that when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. Exodus 13:2 says, "Consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or whether animal." Since Jesus was the firstborn of Mary, he had to be redeemed according to the law. Jesus witnessed in ceremony the very thing he was to become, the redeemer of mankind. He was born under the system of the law, and as parents were obedient to the system of the law, it was part of everything that the law and the prophets had spoken about. The third ceremony was the purification after childbirth, the ceremony of atonement. The key term to this purification ceremony is the idea of atonement, in which in Hebrew means to cover over sin. Atonement means to offer a substitute. The priest sacrifices an animal and sprinkles the blood to make an atonement for the worshiper, and in this way provides for the removal of sin. And Jesus witnessed that. He was a part of that. He would have seen that. The life of the sacrificial animal, specifically symbolized by his blood, was a required exchange for the life of the worshiper. It's part of this anticipation. Jesus was born under this law. Mary and Joseph stayed tied to that, and it was part of that whole system that they were being part of. Simeon was also living under this system of the law. Simeon came to the temple on an annual basis to perform what was required under the requirements of the law, because they were waiting for this consolation of Israel. But we find interesting that Simeon seemed to expect something else. He was waiting for something else because he seemed to recognize that all that was required under the law, everything that happens in the law and the prophets, was looking forward to Christmas. It's the anticipation. It's the build-up to one day this would be realized in someone. See, Mary and Joseph paid the ransom price for Jesus the child, yet this very child was to become the ransom for his parents. Mary and Joseph acted according to the requirements of the law. Jesus Christ freed them from the law through his grace. Jesus was born under the umbrella of legalism so that he could provide grace. And it is under that system that Simeon himself was living. And so I imagine when Joseph and Mary presented Jesus to the temple and did what was required, I don't know if they expected much beyond that yet. I don't know if they fully understood at this point that this child named Jesus is going to be somewhat different. And so I see them going to the temple doing what's expected of them, not really expecting anything else. Kind of like maybe the way a lot of us maybe enter Christmas season. We kind of do the motions. We go through what's required. We're going to spend time. We're going to have some turkey. We're going to spend time with family. Kind of, it's what it's about. We don't really expect something to break out of the ordinary. And in that crowd of people, because I do not believe that they were alone, there are two individuals that are highlighted in Luke chapter 2. We're focusing on Simeon alone today, but there's also a prophetess named Anna who was there as well. Why was it that Simeon was able to recognize this child as the Savior? Why was it that he was able to see beyond the ritual, see beyond what was required? How was he able to do it? Well, we're told a little bit in Luke 2 that he was told by the Spirit, "You won't pass away until you see the consolation of Israel." So on this side of history, we can kind of empathize with Simeon a little bit. Can you imagine if you were told by the Spirit that in your lifetime you would experience the second coming of Christ? How would that affect the way you live every day? Because that's in essence what Simeon was told by the Spirit. Simeon was told, "You will see the consolation of Israel." So every day he's expectant and expectant and expectant. You do that for year 1, year 5, year 10, year 20. How many times did Simeon say, "I just must have had bad pizza last night"? Really? Did I hear right? Is it actually going to happen? I find it interesting that in this Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, did you recognize that other than Mary and Joseph, all the other personalities in the story are aged people, are people that are toward the end of their life. And with Simeon's story, where we believe that he is toward the end of his life, and the reason we say that is by his response when he finally holds the Christ child and says, now my life can depart. I've lived a full life. I'm done. I'm finished. It's completed. So we believe that Simeon and Anna were aged people as well. How does Simeon live a life of expectation year after year after century? If he was in his late 60s, late 70s, how do you hang on like that year after year? You see, many people at that time were waiting for the consolation of Israel. Many people had all kinds of ideas and theories about how that's going to look, and how it's going to take place. Just a couple of them I want to share with you. Some believe that some great celestial champion would descend upon the earth, right? This Messiah would come down and we'd all see him, would be majestic. Some believe that there would arise another king like King David, and that they would make Israel great again. Sorry, had to do that. Others believe that God himself would break directly into history by some sort of supernatural means. But there were some who were known as the quiet in the land. They had no dreams of violence or of power or of armies with banners. They believed in a life of constant prayer and quiet watchfulness until God should come. All their lives, they waited quietly and patiently on God, and it seemed that Simeon was one of these. Somehow, he never lost sight of the hope. He waited expectantly. He was expectantly leaning forward. And every day that he entered the temple courts, every time he was there, it's like, maybe today. I don't know if we come into God's house that way. I was thinking of that as I was worshiping this morning. Did you expect anything to happen this morning? As you came into God's house this morning, did you expect anything? We're going to sing some songs, say hi to a few people. Listen to some guy go on about what's in the scripture. Are we going to expect anything? When Simeon comes to the temple that day, did he expect anything? I don't know, because somewhere out of that crowd of people, he sees a young couple entering with a child, and somehow he knows this is the day. This is the time. The Spirit reveals it to him and goes, that's them. He's the one. He's the boy. Was it all that he expected? Verse 29 to 32. Sovereign Lord, Simeon says, as he's holding the child, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, and which you have prepared in sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people, Israel. It's a song of fulfillment. It's a song of salvation. In essence, what Simeon is saying is, this is it. I am complete. I am fulfilled. I can pass away right now because I have realized it. Is it everything he expected? I would venture to say the answer is yes. A resounding yes. Isn't it good to know that the gift that he receives at Christmas actually was what he expected? No disappointments. He recognized that this was the child. The Savior came indeed. He is here today. Can we acknowledge that? See, in what way do we live out our days with a sense of expectancy? Is there anything we still yearn for, hope for, cling on to by faith for? Or are we simply going through the paces? You see, because the Spirit revealed to us through his word that there will come a day when Jesus will come. There will come a day when he will come back. He promised it. In his word, we all can see it and hear it and read it. And that way, Simeon's story really is our story. Some of us have lived faith for many, many, many years. And we can be in the same danger that some of those other worshipers who were in the temple that day, who missed the Messiah that day, we can be in the same danger. We can go about our paces, we can go about our life, we can read faithfully, we can participate, and we can still miss the Messiah. Think about it. I mean, how many other people were in the temple that day? We're told about Anna. We're told that Anna, another faithful, aged person in that crowd, was like Simeon, waiting expectantly, and she too, for some reason, recognized that this young couple with that young child was it. And we can read her story as she too says, "It's everything I expected. It's all that I hoped for. I am now complete." My challenge to you as you look at your experience of Christmas, you look forward, is don't lose sight of the fact that we're told that we too have this consolation that will happen. The difference is, I don't think we're told it'll happen in our lifetime the way I believe Simeon was told. But yet we cannot deny the reality that Scripture says pretty clearly that Christ can come at any time. And the truth is, he'll probably come when we least expect it. And in the way that they were looking forward to this Messiah in all kinds of different ways, we know that there's all kinds of people that want to tell us all different kinds of ways as to how the Messiah is going to come back a second time. We don't know the answer, but we do know that he will come. And like Simeon, we are to live a life of expectant waiting. Get up every morning. Go about your responsibilities. Go about your duties. Do what you do. Do what we're required to do. But in the back of our minds, there's always this little thing about maybe today. Maybe this week. Maybe this year. Does that change at all how we live our daily lives? So I asked that same question as earlier. If we were told that in our lifetime, we would with our physical eyes see the second coming of Christ, how would we live differently? Would it make any difference? Simeon beheld this child in his arms, and he says, "Everything I've hoped for, everything I've dreamt for, all that I've waited for has been fulfilled right here, right now, and I can pass away right now in peace." I don't know if any gift you received this Christmas was that fulfilling for you. Maybe it was. Maybe Apple did come up with something like that. I don't know. But we know that all of those gifts that we receive always fall short because we have something bigger and greater that we're waiting for. Don't lose sight of the expectancy. Don't lose sight of the hope. Don't let your faith wander, as I'm sure it does for all of us. Because Scripture promised one day, like Simeon, we will behold the consolation of Israel, our salvation, and it will be what we ever dreamt it to be. This is my prayer and my hope for you as we kind of transition between one year to the next. Recognize that this child who is in a manger is the man who is our salvation. And he truly is the fulfillment of anything that we could ever hope for or expect. Let me close in prayer, and I think the worship team has one song, right? Thank you, God, for the way you revealed yourself in Scripture to us today. Thank you for a man like Simeon who, after many, 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 many years of waiting, finally realized, he opened up the gift, and it was exactly what he expected. Father, we know that on this side of heaven, there are many times when our expectations will be realized. There's many times when our expectations will be severely disappointed. But if we turn our gaze upward and we see, as Simeon did, that there's an expectation that is beyond anything we can imagine, and it will not disappoint. Father, may our hope be in that. Father, if there's anyone in this room who does not understand what it means to have you be their personal Lord and Savior, She doesn't understand that you bore our shame so that we can be in a place of honor and respect with you through the Son, Jesus Christ. My prayer is that they may do some homework, do some research. May they be led to the scripture and recognize that we can have that hope that will not disappoint. All we need to do is ask. Thank you for your goodness and your grace towards us. Amen.